we have sexualized the breast. That's why women don't want to take out their breast in public. That's why even when you are in a restaurant, there are smoking areas, but they are not actually breastfeeding areas, you know? So in a way, it is taking out the love out of breastfeeding and the normalization of breastfeeding in public.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. The Curaprox Soother supports the normal development of gums, teeth, palate, and jaw and ensures optimal nasal breathing. This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior Gentle All-Purpose Emollient Moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax. Today on Baby Brunch, we're talking breastfeeding. Some of your questions that you had to our platform, babybrunch.co.za. We are joined by Sister Rifilwe Nompomulelo Maponya. She has many names, but today she's just Sister. Sister, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
You drove all the way from Rustenburg to see us?
Yes, definitely.
You have such a beautiful role in Rustenburg. When I read your profile, I was like, yes, a change maker. People that is taking moms and our babies and helping them. Give me an idea of what your day-to-day looks like, and I want to know about your profession.
Okay. So by profession, I'm an advanced midwife specialist, but I'm currently employed in Rustenburg in the Bojanala district. I'm the mother, child and women's health and nutrition coordinator. So I coordinate anything that is mother-related, child-related, neonatal-related, woman-related. So everything that is healthcare, that's where you will find me.
I'm inspired by your story because as a lady from Rustenburg, you have gone on to also advance your career. When I learned that you're busy with your doctorate, I was like, yes, girl. Tell me about why you're jetting from Rustenburg to Joburg all the time.
Wow. You know what? When it comes to mother and child, that is where my passion is, as I'm a mother myself to a four-year-old. And breastfeeding is my niche, you know? That is where I love to just go and do my research and how to empower mothers, especially who are working to achieve their breastfeeding goals, because there are challenges, a lot of challenges that they come up with. So that's where I am at. So I was also a donor as well. So I was donating breast milk, which mothers don't even know about. So that's part of also my resume, which people don't know about as well.
Breastfeeding has become a word that sometimes creates anxiety with us. There's so much conversation around us, and when you feel you can't do it, it's still the case. We feel like we're not enough. Why is that?
That is true. It's because there's a lot of misconception that it's easy to do and that it is just a woman's job. That is the mother's job. But breastfeeding is vast. It needs family support. It needs your co-worker support if you're working. So when they say it takes a village to, you know, raise a child, it really does. It's not the mother's job only. So it goes a long way, to be honest.
I love the fact that you say it's an everybody's thing.
Yes.
Before I even get to what breastfeeding is, and you know, for all of us that haven't listened to our previous episode on Breastfeeding 101, how can our families and people in the workplace support us when it comes to breastfeeding?
Oh, there's a lot that they can do, Ilana. There's a lot. Because the mother now depends on her co-workers and her family to actually achieve this. Because, you know, when you have to return to work, now you start worrying that, how are my co-workers going to perceive me when now my breasts are leaking? Where do I actually go and express? Have you actually discussed that with your employer? And as well with your co-workers, because now you have to talk to them that I must take the breaks to go and express. And it will be like, no, you're slacking at work. You don't want to work. Why don't you just slip in the formula for that baby?
But people can take smoke breaks. Why can't I take a breastfeeding break?
You know, that is what I am fighting for right now. That is my cause. That this, I want women to know that it's there and they can take it. we have sexualized the breast. That's why women don't want to take out their breast in public. That's why even when you are in a restaurant, there are smoking areas, but they are not actually breastfeeding areas, you know? So women tend to be shy because it's sexualized and all of that. So we have moved away from the African culture of popping out your breast in public and breastfeeding everywhere. And now we've moved into the westernized culture where you have to cover up. Mm-hmm. When you're latching your baby, so people can't see the breast. So in a way, it is taking out the love out of breastfeeding and the normalization of breastfeeding in public so that women are not shy to breastfeed, you know. So that is my take on that.
Breast milk is so wonderful. I mean, I remember breastfeeding my baby and then people would say, it's good for eye infection. Then they would go, did your partner taste it? You know, there's always conversation around the milk, you know, and we'll come to that shortly. But what are the nutritional values to baby?
Oh, you know what? Breastfeeding, breast milk has everything. It has water. That means that your baby in the first 6 months of life doesn't need water. It has carbohydrate. It has minerals. It has fats. So every essential nutrients that your baby needs, it has in its own combination because it's for your baby. So as your baby grows, it matures with your baby. So after 6 months, that's when you introduce your complementary feedings, your potatoes, your carrots, those are mashed up. You introduce those things, but you don't stop. You continue to breastfeeding even 2 years and beyond because now your baby still needs those nutrients.
There's a stigma around breastfeeding older babies. I mean, I wish, and I say older babies, I still call my 20-year-older baby too. So, you know, I don't want to say why, because it's going to just create another influx of questions. And I think in my case, emotions. What's the stigma around breastfeeding older children? I mean, is there, working in government care and seeing professional private patients and the world, sister, what are the benefits of breastfeeding our older kids? Because I wanted to breastfeed up until 4 years, you know? Is there a rule that says now is the time to stop?
No. There is absolutely no rule. It is between you and your baby. There is absolutely no rule of how long you want to breastfeed. But breastfeeding in older babies, it is also continued nutrition. So remember, when your baby is like 2 years, 1 year old, it doesn't mean they're eating a full plate of meals. Sometimes they don't eat certain veggies, they don't want it, or certain fruits, they don't want it. Now they're getting it through the breast because you, the adult, are eating each and every nutrients possible. So it goes through the breast. So it's nicer that if your baby, especially we call them the babies who are reluctant to be eating food, then you can continue, but you are also giving the complementary feeds as well. It's good for bonding. It's good for bonding. After a long day's work and you know how busy our life can be, you can just sit back and relax. Your baby can just come to you and then you breastfeed. So there's no time limit. It's you and your baby who decides.
There was such a beautiful notion. So someone came to me and they said, Ilana, you know, my baby's, she's now stopped breastfeeding. Her hand is still in here. And you know what? I said, it's better than the hand is in there with mommy than with teacher. You know? When baby starts asking, is that the time to stop? Because I say, you know what? Come back from school and ask. It's fine.
Yeah. You know what? That's why I say it is the mommy's decision. You cannot say to a mom, no, when your baby is talking or walking and playing with their friends outside, then you stop. No, it is the mom's decision. That's why, according to the World Health Organization, they say that you can breastfeed beyond 2 years. So there is no limit. As long as you, the mom, you are comfortable and your baby is receiving those nutrients, why not continue? That's how. And even I myself, I was breastfed until I was older. I was even talking and coming back and saying, Mama, come, I want to breastfeed. So I think also the IQ, you can see most.
I know. Yes. Look at you. You turned out really intelligent. Yes. I'm going to follow through. Some mothers can breastfeed and some are unable. What is standing in our way? Sure, there's a lot of factors. Some of us are unable to. Why do you think, in your opinion, some are successful in it and others are not? What do you see in the clinic?
Okay. In majority of instances, it's doubt. We are doubting ourselves. We are doubting that our bodies can do this miracle milk, that our babies can be full on only our production of milk. Wow. We are bombarded with advertisement like formula. They're advertising that if your baby is crying too much, they are there to support you, you know. So you become doubtful of what you have produced. I mean, you are the producer of this milk, but now you tend to doubt it because now you have this baby in front of you. It's a new journey, and each and every baby is a new journey. It doesn't matter if this is your second, third, fourth, fifth baby. It is a unique journey each and every time. So trusting in your body, having that support, because support is absolutely important, because you can't do it without the support. Honestly, you are going to give up. Whenever the baby is crying, maybe the baby is crying because it needs the nappy to be changed, or they just need to be held sometimes. Mm. Then you feel overwhelmed because now the baby is always with you. You are the one breastfeeding, you are the one coming down the baby, you are the one changing the baby, you know. So when you have that support system, your partner or your family member who is there, they can take, or the friends can take the baby, soothe the baby, let the baby lie down. You can even express the breast milk, and the baby can get the breast milk while you recover from a labor, or in your postpartum period, or even if you have resumed going back to work. So, you know, we tend to make breastfeeding a mom's initiative. But if we collectively support her, then she's able to do it freely without any other interventions. So, but besides that, because in the majority of the time is being doubtful, but if you can't even latch your baby properly, now the baby will be getting small amounts of milk, breast milk from you, and the baby will be fussy. So it's important to learn the technique once the baby is here. Learn the technique how to latch on your baby. But besides that, if there are medical conditions or the baby has also medical conditions, those are the things that can actually impede you to breastfeed. But those are minor, you know, challenges that can be overcome in most instances.
Let's talk about preparation. Mm. I'm pregnant. Things are going okay sometimes. Things are not okay sometimes. I'm happy. I'm not happy. I'm sad. I don't have cravings. Don't tell me that I have cravings. I don't have cravings. I have cravings. Can I have salt and vinegar chips? Mm. Peaches. I had peaches. I wanted ice. Then my mother-in-law would say, do you have a craving, Ilana? No. Mm. I don't have a craving.
Yeah.
But she brings me a whole bag of cheese. Eat the cheese. I don't have a craving. I finished the whole bag of cheese. The whole bag. Mm-hmm. In preparation for breastfeeding while we're carrying baby, what are some of the things that we can do to prepare for the fact that we are going to need to breastfeed or want to breastfeed?
Okay. So when you are going for your antenatal visit, especially in the government, also in the private sector, because I've also worked there, you meet your midwife, then she talks you through about breastfeeding. Actually about both breastfeeding and formula feeding,
right?
Because we want you to make an informed decision. So in preparation of that, we tell you about the benefits of breastfeeding for mom, baby, the family, the economy, the community. So there's an array of benefits for the mommy, because for the mom, it also prevents her from getting breast cancer, ovarian cancer.
Wow.
So the risks are minimized, as well as it helps with child spacing. So meaning with the first 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding, you are suppressing your menstrual cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So the mom will actually not really fall pregnant. But we caution you, it must be exclusive breastfeeding.
Right.
So with the baby gets nutrients. The baby is can be like dehydrated or get infections like your otitis media ear infections. So your baby actually, it becomes very, very healthy. Economy, the dad, because, you know, dad don't want to spend too much. Rather, the money that he has to spend
you're
on formula.
Saving money. We're going to show you how to save money baby brunch. You save money by breastfeeding because you save on formula.
You save on formula.
But sister, it's only a saving if you take the money and you buy something else.
You did, because if you take the cost of formula and going to do your nails.
Yo.
Wow.
Or a diamond, because it's a push present.
You know. You know.
I'm ready.
I'm telling you.
I'm ready.
I'm telling you. then you have saved. I mean, now you look good. You're a yummy mommy. You look good and you are breastfeeding. I mean, wow.
And I'm not even kidding. My first bush present was a pair of shoes and I still have them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now
because
he
got it. Mm-hmm. We made that saving and then he bought me a pair of shoes.
You see?
So I like that. The economy, an informed decision because we're getting baby's immune system up.
Yes.
How else do we prepare?
You know that we have load shedding and we have water shedding. Now, if you have formula, you look at that formula and you stare at that formula. There's no water. There's no lights. Always ready.
Always ready.
Always ready. You know?
You know the one thing that people didn't prepare me for? And I mean, it seems so obvious, but there's a lot that we think about. You know, I need to buy the baby grows, the summer uniform. Oh, wait, she's going to be born in winter. Ah, I bought the jacket the wrong size. No one told me, don't judge, eh? No one told me that your bra size increases.
Oh, definitely.
So how do you know which size, where to go, what to buy?
Oh, okay. So when you are breastfeeding, because when you are pregnant already, your breasts are enlarging because now your body is preparing for the milk production. So you can pop into your Woolworths, if I can mention them, and they can also measure you, your bust size.
Okay.
But you need the a bra that has pads on it so that it can prevent that leakage. Because if you don't have those ones that have pads in it, your breast tend to leak and then obviously it becomes a mess in your bra. So have those bra pads that are padded. You can get them anywhere, actually, any clothing shop. So it's better to have those.
Okay, so a good padded bra and then you have them. Do we judge people that even though their kids are 7, they still have their breastfeeding bras?
Oh, no, we don't.
Okay, because I do.
Because it's so comfortable. It's so comfortable.
I can't throw them out.
No, they are very comfortable.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, sister. Okay, so that makes sense. Breastfeeding is because you're ready.
You are.
It's there.
It's there.
What kind of nutrition? I mean, I'm just going to have one glass of champagne. I mean, does it play a role when it comes to feeding our babies? What role does alcohol play when we are feeding?
Okay. So any recreational drugs like alcohol, if you're smoking, we always encourage the mom to actually stop when she's pregnant, even when she's breastfeeding. But we know that, you know, when you're socializing, that does not happen. So we always encourage the mom that if you are going to have a social night, rather express the breast milk and then put it away in the fridge. And then you can give the baby that while you detox. It comes out of your system. So if, for instance, tonight you're having a glass or two of wine, express before then the alcohol usually it takes 2 to 6 hours to actually come out of your body. Then you can breastfeed back.
Okay.
Yeah.
People talk about complementary feeding. So now I've breastfed my baby. How do I know that they need more or they need a top up with formula? You know, we don't know. Baby doesn't talk.
So whenever I teach, even healthcare workers, there's something called feeding cues. So hence, that's why we say in the first 6 months of the baby's life, you must learn feeding cues. You must learn that when your baby is suckling on their clothes or on their fist, now it's time to feed. That means it's time to give them the breast milk. When they reach 6 months, obviously energy requirements, they increase. Now they need solid foods. But in between, you breastfeed your baby. So after 6 months, if you are giving formula, it's not called mixed feeding anymore because you have introduced solids. So you actually can give the baby a formula if you want to give formula. But we don't want you to give it because now you're going to stop breastfeeding. So actually, when you are giving formula, it's like you're weaning off the baby of the breast.
Right. So it's better to breastfeed and then bring solids than introduce formula and solids because otherwise we're weaning off breast as well.
Yes.
Which takes preference, the milk or the food?
When the baby is 6 months, the milk always takes preference.
Okay.
So now you are giving the milk and then you are giving the solids. So the solids you can give 3 times a day, but then you are giving the breast milk.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if baby doesn't want the solids?
You remember, it's a foreign thing to the baby. Mm. The baby is not born knowing this is sugar or this is salt or this is what. So we always say introduce the veggies first, because obviously the fruits, they taste great. Mm. And once you start with the fruits, they don't want the veggies. Mm. And with the preparation of the veggies, we do not want you to be putting in salts and all of those. Try and make them as the way they are. Mm. So potatoes, make your potatoes, but instead of, don't put in the salt so that you can give the baby. Just put in a little bit. But because of we've got adults, we've got our different taste dynamics. So maybe you like a lot of salt and I don't like a lot of salt. So if you're preparing that meal, then you're going to put in the salt content for your own taste. Mm. So now if you're giving it to the baby, that baby is exposed to a lot of sodium, so which is not good for the baby. So the preparation of your food is really important in this aspect. So start with your veggies, and then we've got how you introduce your foods, as well as give the baby the food as well. As they grow up, they can sit, put them in their own chair or sit them upright so they can feed themselves. And babies are very intelligent. So once they reach 9 months to a year, they are actually taking things to their mouth. Even the toys, they are taking them to the mouth. So put that dish in front of them, and put that teaspoon of potato or carrots, you will see it will go into the mouth, although it will fall all over the place, but it will go into the mouth. Then you supplement with the breast milk.
You are working hard during the night after work to introduce all these veggies, and during the day, babies with a caretaker. Mm. Someone else is taking care of baby. The go-to is porridge or maize meal. Is that still nutritional? Do we educate everyone at home who's taking care of baby, or is it okay?
We always tell mothers, please, let's educate the caretaker. Mm. Most instances, the caretaker is a mother, a family member, or it's a nanny. But you always educate your caretaker. There's nothing wrong with porridge. What is wrong is giving it the whole day. I mean, you can't eat the same thing the whole day, even as an adult. So where's the nutritional basis in that? You know, so it's important to tell the mother that you must have
variety.
A variety. You can't have the same
thing. How do we improve our milk supply? Hmm. So now, guys, I have stories. So some of you have asked us this question.
Yeah.
Then this one says berry elixir. Then this one says no, just water. This one says no, a hot lappy on the breast. This one says no, my auntie makes this juice that you drink. Ooh, the stories. I can tell you, I've got loads of them.
Yeah.
But practically, sister, how do we increase milk supply?
You know, I love that question. Why I love that question is that your baby is the only one who will make that milk supply once the baby is out. Remember, when you are pregnant, it's the hormones, the prolactin, that is making the breast milk in your body. So physiologically, your body is the one that's making the breast milk when you're pregnant. But once the baby is out, now it's the baby who has to come and suck at that breast and then produce the milk. So whenever the baby is latched on and sucking on the breast, so it goes to your brain, and then it tells your brain that, there's somebody who is sucking there. I need to produce more milk. So now your body actually produces more milk. Remember, when you are breastfeeding, you can't see the quantity that the baby is having in their stomach. You can't see it. So as mommies, we tend to think because of, I can't see it, like formula, I can't measure it. It's not enough. It is enough because your baby is going to suck and then is going to let go when they let go. Sometimes your baby is just soothe feeding. They are just there. They are not even sucking. They are just there on your chest. Whenever you want to pull your breast out, then they suck quickly. It's because that's what we call soothe feeding. Your baby is soothe feeding. It's not a nutritional aspect. So your body is done. It's a miracle. Whenever I tell mommy, I'm saying you are a miracle, you know. So you must trust in your body. If you trust in your body, that's when you're going to see amazing things. And you must trust in this new partnership with your baby, because this little one is the one who is going to produce the milk from you. So the more the baby sucks, the more the milk is produced. And that's where the problem is, because now we are busy, we are all over the place, we don't believe in ourselves, that's where the doubt is created in your body, saying that if the baby is crying too much, maybe you're not producing enough milk. Are you sure, actually? You know? So milk production is between you and the baby. No matter what you drink, no matter what you do, actually, only you and the baby are bonding.
Team. Hashtag teamwork.
Exactly.
Some of your questions that came through to babybrunch.co.za. I'd love to tackle them because we've got sister here in studio. Okay, this one says, what if my infant refuses the breast?
I've heard that and I've seen that. Sometimes it is because of poor attachment to the breast when you're not holding your baby nicely. So some people, they don't even know how to hold a baby. So when you can't hold the baby's neck is overflexed. So your baby is not going to breastfeed nicely. If your baby is not latched nicely onto the breast, maybe the breast is covering their nose, they can't breathe. Obviously, they'll go back and they'll start to be fussy and crying. So it's all about attaching the baby correctly. And also you as a mother, you must be comfortable when you are breastfeeding. Because if your muscles are tired, you're not comfortable, you're not sitting correctly, you tend not to be comfortable, and the let down reflex of the breast milk, then it does not be there. So it's a matter of being comfortable, latching the baby correctly onto the breast, knowing how to hold your breast as well. Because when we are breastfeeding our babies, we do this, I called it Vodacom the V, and then we are cutting... We are cutting the areola because remember, the baby is not sucking on the nipple. That's the mistake all mothers make in most instances. They are putting only the nipple into the mouth. Mm-mm. The areola, the black part or the brown part surrounding that nipple, it's what's supposed to be inside. Yes. Yeah. So if the baby is not latched correctly, the baby is latched on the nipple, the milk production is not going to be as such. So you're also cutting the breast with your fingers, making the V sign. So you're pulling it back and you're closing the milk ducts off so that baby is not getting that milk. So we always say to the mother, do the V, the C. So the C, you put it
under.
So your fingers will be making a nice cup shape of a C, and then you put it in. And then you can't even close it because you see the thumb will far away from the areola.
Do you squeeze while you're creating the C for baby to drink? Can you squeeze your breast?
No, you don't need to squeeze your breast because the baby needs to pull it. You just need to support your breast. You don't need to pump because people tend to just pump.
I did that all the time.
Yeah, there's no need for you to pump because the baby is the one who's vacuuming out that milk.
Here's another one. What causes infants to choke while breastfeeding?
A lot of milk production. Remember, there are women who have a lot of milk that is spreading.
Oh, where are they?
So the baby tends to choke because now when they are sucking it, there's a lot that is coming out. So that's why they tend to choke.
Okay, but what do we do?
So it's just a matter of holding your baby upright, just rubbing their chest, and it will... Remember, breast milk is easily digestible. It's nothing that it will choke them to death.
God forbid.
No, you just hold your baby upright, you soothe the chest so that the baby can burp, and then the baby can drink nicely.
Here's another one. Breast milk donation. How do we do that?
Oh, I love breast milk donation. So what you can do, wherever you are delivering or wherever you are going or receiving antenatal care, you can inquire whether they have a breast milk corner site or a breast milk site for donation. So with us there in Rustenburg in Bojanala, we have a hospital and we have clinics that are called corner sites where the milk is actually collected from mothers. And then it's sent to the hospital for pasteurization and testing. And then we see that milk is actually valid for other babies to receive the milk. So the mothers have to undergo a consent form. We talk to them, we counsel them first. They undergo tests, where we screen them for sexually transmitted disease because we don't want them to pass down to other recipient babies. So after that, then after checking all of that and they have passed that accuracy test, then they can donate.
There's another question here around hygiene of donated milk. Mm. I mean, in your mind, you're thinking, hey, man, gallons and, you know, did they wash their hands?
Yeah.
So there's quite a few questions that came through around hygiene and breast milk. How do we assure that it's hygienic?
Okay, so remember with the donor mother, we always educate them that hygiene is also important. Remember, hygiene is also important for your own baby, even when you are breastfeeding your own baby. It's very important. So even if when you're donating, strict hand wash, and then we teach them how to express breast milk because it comes with that as well. Because now you'll be expressing into the containers that we have given you, and then you freeze that milk. So that milk undergoes tests as well.
Okay.
So you have blood test. Then you have the milk test. So that milk, it's not like we take it from Ilana and then we give it straight to the other people's babies. No, it undergoes pasteurization. So with pasteurization, it kills any other infections or any other thing that can be picked up. But if we pick up that the milk has something, then we tell the donor mother that, no, we are treating you for this. This is what we found.
Right. That's wonderful.
And then we stop the process of donating.
Okay.
Until then, we can treat the mother.
I'm so envious when I see these images of moms expressing and they have freezers filled with these breast milk. How long can you freeze your breast milk for?
Okay. So don't be envious. Mm. Don't be envious because of it takes a long time for you to have that fridge full of breast milk. So people will be making us as if we are cows.
Mm-hmm.
No. You can freeze your milk for up to actually 12 months.
Okay.
So it depends on what type of freezer you have. If you've got the fridge that has a... maybe the bottom is a fridge and then the top part is a freezer. You can store that part up till 3 months.
Okay.
So if you've got a freezer,
like a deep freezer,
then you can store 6 to 12 months.
Okay.
So then you have to also know how to give your baby that frozen milk, because now the baby's not going to eat frozen milk.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know that when you're going to be giving that baby that milk, you have to put it out, throw it. Overnight, meaning over 12 hours, then you do not microwave it. Please don't microwave that milk because, you know, with technology, everything is so fast-paced. You boil water, then you take that container, pour the water into another container, then put that overnight throughout milk into that container so it can warm up.
Okay.
Then you test it on your arm, just to test it. If you're the mother, you can taste it, you know, because if it's the nanny or somebody else, obviously they can't be drinking your breast milk.
So they taste it on the arm,
yes.
I was wondering about the defrosting of it because, I mean, I didn't have enough milk supply. I never had the opportunity to freeze.
Yeah. So, and it takes a while because now if, like, for instance, when you're returning back to work, you have to start before you return back to work to express.
Okay.
That's why it seems like when we are taking photos on social media, it seems like, oh, Mpumi has got a lot of milk. No, I started a long time to do that. So that also it establishes that milk production.
Right.
Yeah.
So if I know, this is actually good for planning. So if I know that I'm going to go back to work in 3 months' time, as soon as I know that I've got a lot of milk and I've got the right deep freezer, the right support, then I can start freezing my milk already.
You can. You can. So after what we recommend is that after 6 weeks of breastfeeding your baby, then you can start actually expressing your breast milk. So as well, when you have to go and look for a pump and all of this, because people, they trust equipment, you actually need your hand. If you know how to express with your hand, you actually have the best equipment.
I'm actually looking at you with a shocked face. So I'll tell you when I express by hand.
Yeah.
Often, so two months after my youngest was born, I had to start going back to work.
Mm.
And it was heartbreaking. I mean, I'm not even kidding. Mm. I had to see a therapist for this.
It's true.
Where, you know, I'm at work and I'm expressing in the toilet because I need to go back on stage, you know. Are there videos online of how to express for use with your hand instead of with a pump?
Yes, there are videos. And also that's what your healthcare worker is supposed to show you, your midwife, how to express. With myself as well, when I went back to work, I know it's heartbreaking to be a mom and going back. You even hear the cry all of a sudden at work and you are thinking, hey, you know, because that was my master's research. It was all about working mother's experience of exclusive breastfeeding. And before I had my baby, I actually did the research and I wanted to find out, how do I actually go about it? I've been teaching mothers. I didn't have a baby and it seemed so easy. No, breastfeed, blah, blah, blah. And now the reality was coming. Yeah. And I did the research and then I had a different perspective. Like we are giving the education, but is it practical? We don't work in facilities. In South Africa, you find small companies have lactation rooms. That's a luxury. With us, we did not have. And I was working in the hospital at that time. So when I went back to my work, I went as far as going to express at the neonatal ward because that's where mothers were coming there and expressing. They did not have a lactation room for employees. So I was going to actually express in the toilet. And I was like, no, you know what? Neonatal unit has got mothers. I sat practically with mothers. I was in my uniform and I sat with them. And in the hospital, obviously, there's no pump. There's no pump.
You use your hand.
I used my hand. And, you know, using your hand is very nice because now you find the sweet spots. Yeah, you are able to express them out so nicely. With the pump, you must know the cup size, the phalanges of the cup. Hey, there's a lot that goes into it, you know. And sometimes if you can't work the pump, it becomes frustrating. So it needs also somebody who's going to assist you like a professional. If they also know how to use a pump. Not all professionals know how to use a pump, you know.
It's interesting what you said about breastfeeding rooms. So I work with corporate a lot. This year alone, I've done 4 corporates a month. I have only had 1 corporate with a breastfeeding room.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you do the maths on that one. Yeah. So I think we've got a long way to go when it comes to you. Can medication affect our milk? What if you're on antidepressants, excuse me, and you need to feed baby?
Yeah, it can affect it. It depends on the type of medication you are on. So whenever you're put on medication, you tell your healthcare provider that I have a baby and I'm breastfeeding, so they can adjust your medication or they can tell you whether to stop breastfeeding because that medication can actually go through to the baby. So the side effects meaning it will pass through to the baby. So. But majority of the medication, they are actually good when you are breastfeeding. Antibiotics, you can still drink antibiotics while you are breastfeeding. So antidepressant, it depends on what type of antidepressant you are on. So it depends.
Well, this conversation is insightful, but it's not over yet. We want to talk about the actual breast at the moment. In fact, we're talking about breast problems and things that occur with breast during breastfeeding. A lot of people talk about blocked ducts or the fact that the breasts are so swollen, but nothing is really happening. If you think something is up, how do we find out what is wrong with our breasts so that we can feed our babies?
That's a very nice question. I mean, you know your body. I always say to a woman, you know your body. Even when you are breastfeeding, you can see that something is wrong with it. So with the common conditions that occur when you are breastfeeding is engorged breast, meaning now your breasts, they are filled up. You are maybe not expressing the milk. Your breast is not emptied. Even when you are latching your baby is drinking, but then the breast is not becoming empty. So there are women who we say they have a lot of breast milk. We just say they have a lot of breast milk because now it's not being emptied. So when it happens, your breasts become shiny, they become enlarged, they become painful to touch. They can even cry if you just bump them, you know. So when that happens, That's when we do cold compressions or warm compressions on the breast. And we give you some pain medication for that. And then we teach you how to express that breast milk. So if you, for instance, the baby is drinking a little bit slow or not emptying the breast completely, then you can actually express in between the feeds so that you can keep the milk production flowing, but also you can prevent the breast from being engorged. But engorged breast milk is very, very common.
What if you have been breastfeeding incorrectly? The nipple is now sore, it's tender. Sometimes they look like they're going to fall off, you know. You are at the end of the road.
Yeah.
But the milk production is there. What do you do? What takes preference? Do you push through or do we heal the nipple first before trying again?
Okay. So I always say a woman has two breasts. Thank God for that. So the nipple, if it's one-sided, the nipple, maybe the baby is not latching correctly onto that breast, you will have nipple cracks or fissures. Sometimes they can bleed. So when in that instance, we tell the mother, use the other breast. So while this one is still healing, we can put express your breast milk and put it on and leave the breast to dry. Because most of time is the baby is sucking and the saliva is busy tearing some of that apart of the skin. As well as incorrect latching as well can cause that, because the baby now pulling onto that nipple alone, not sucking on the areola. So now we have to reattach the baby on the other one, show you how to correctly latch the baby, put in a little bit of the breast milk on there, let it dry. So expose your breast so it can dry. You can also use Vaseline for those who Vaseline is very, very good. And you can also use products like lanolin. Lanolin you can put, it's also like Vaseline. It's a lubricant. Yeah. So you can put it and then allow your breast to dry up. So with that breast that you are, the nipple that is trying to recover, you can express from it because now there's nobody pulling from that nipple. So you can express so that you can prevent engorgement of the breast. So it's a two-way thing.
What if both breasts are affected and it's just painful? I mean, how do we keep the milk production going and making sure that we get those nipples healed?
So when it's both breasts, you put on the lubricant there and then you allow them to dry, but you express in the meantime. So you can cup feed the baby or I like to cup feed because when you are bottle feeding the baby, it becomes a confusion with the teat. Because now your nipple is soft, but the teat can be a little bit hard on the baby. So you can cup feed the baby. And they do love cup feeding, hey, when you cup feed them. So you can express, so you can prevent engorgement while their nipples, they heal from the cracks.
How do you know with cup feeding you're not giving too much? How can my baby drink from a cup? They are tiny. Nurse, don't you tell me what to do. How can my baby drink from a cup?
I love that question. So even premature babies, once they are we have established the suck reflex and the swallow reflex, they can actually feed from the cup. So they are just little human beings just like you and I. It's the technique that you are using. When you are putting the cup, you don't drink like we are drinking in and out. You just hold the cup onto the mouth and then they literally pick up the milk with their tongue. And once they are full, they are going to stop drinking. Then you burp them.
I'll never forget you're talking about burping. So I have my first baby and my mom says, have you burped the baby? And I said, burping? What's this? Burping the baby, you know? And she picks up the baby and she rubs her back, but I mean, she hardly touched her. It sounded like a man. I have never, from that little body came the biggest roar, like a roar. I was like, okay, maybe I should read this book that they gave me so that I can figure out. I want to talk about the book shortly. In order to keep things hygienic, do we wipe the breast with soap before feeding? Do we wipe the nipple? Just give us some advice on before feeding baby with breast. What care do we take?
Okay. So the care that you take, I always tell the mother, washing your hands, it depends where you have been, but you always wash your hands. Perfume especially, I always try tell them, just don't put it directly onto your breast, because now the baby is going to be sucking on that perfume scent, which is not going to be nice on the mouth. So what you can do with your baby, you don't really need to wipe your breast, because your breast, you are clean, you've bathed and everything, they are in the in the bra. You can just pop it out and give it to your baby. How you bath the way you usually bath. It's just good hygiene practices that you have to. It's even when you are seeing it, if I'm in the taxi rank, for instance, and my baby is crying, or I'm in the shopping mall, do I have to go run for the tap and wash my my hands and then take out my breast and then wipe it with something? That's not practical. You understand what I'm trying to say? What is practical is, if you are having a sanitizer for your hands especially, you can rub it, or a wet cloth, you can just rub it. Then you can pop up your breast and then you can give the baby. But if you have been gymming, you are sweating, or the type of work you have done, you have sweat, then you need to actually bath or wipe yourself with a clean cloth, and then remove anything that's soapy, because now it's going to go into the baby's mouth. Make sure you are just clean.
On a later stage, I would love to have you back, because I want to talk about packing that baby bag. I was taking a flight the other day, and this mom had so much luggage with her. At some stage, I said to her, can I hold your baby? She said, please, I need to close my pram. But she had the pram. She had a big bag, like she was traveling for days. And, you know, it's 2 hours before she gets to her next destination. So I really felt for her. But that was also me, you know, in that situation where you pack for every... There's even pain medication, because the baby's going to have pain in this flight. Okay, there's everything in that. So we're definitely going to have you back for that. I want to share something with you that before I talk about the Road to Health, the book that you brought with you. I had a situation recently where twins were ill, and they were already 6 and 7 years old, and they were in pulmonology. They ran tests, and the one twin is healthy, and the other twin, they realized the twin had HIV. And when they did their research, now it's already the children are already much older, they realized that the babies were breastfed by their nanny when they were small. How do we prevent something like that? I mean, I can't imagine the pain of the parents having to realize later on that they were breastfed by a caregiver who was HIV positive.
It is sad, and we have had incidences of such a nature. I think it's a relationship type of a thing with your caregiver or your family member. They must not witness your baby, because we have a lot of conditions nowadays, and they can pass through the breast, like HIV. So also, if your baby is being taken care by a nanny or a family member, I think also knowing their health status is actually important in this instance, because now this person is taking care of your baby. So that's why we want to prevent that from happening. Educate your nanny, educate your family member. We do not do wet nursing anymore because of such incidences. So your baby must drink your own breast milk. It is painful, but such incidences do occur.
It is a real pleasure to have met you. Thank you for, you're doing God's work, you know.
Thank you.
You're helping mothers and people. And you've helped me, you know. Understanding is such a beautiful thing. For this and more episodes, you can check out babybrunch.co.za. We have another episode that's called Breastfeeding 101. It's been equally insightful, but this is a current one. And I think research is so wonderful because it moves on with the times. Sister, thank you so much for joining us, and the best with your journey from Rustenburg to Joburg, from sister antenatal nurse to doctor. Will you come back?
Much. I will come back if you want me. I am here.
Oh, we want you back for sure.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.
The CuraProx Soother supports the normal development of gums, teeth, palate, and jaw and ensures optimal nasal breathing.